Well, as it says, we're going again to the communion table, the table of the Lord, this table of grace. We always do it with teaching, so that the recipients might discern about Jesus. For Paul says in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Twenty-third verse, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup, the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Dr. Scott was a pioneer of this communion table, taking it out of that religious sense and bringing it back into the home, back into a place where it touched the heart of his people. And he did it through teaching that we might discern, that by discerning we might worthily partake of this cup and this bread. Discerning Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus met two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they didn't know who he was. But after a while, and after Jesus opened their eyes to the scriptures of all that was concerning them, then they understood and recognized Jesus. He expounded on all the scriptures. At that time, the scriptures that they had were the Old Testament. I want to go this morning to a scripture. And it took all of them to begin to describe Jesus. But this one, it's one we will go to this morning as we partake in this cup and this broken bread, which I hope you have prepared to participate with and in and at this communion table. It's the 33rd chapter of Job. The 12th verse makes that declaration that God is greater than man. It says in the 15th verse, you know, let's go to the 14th. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opens their ears, the ears of men, and sealeth that their instruction. Why? That he may withdraw man from his purpose, that is, man's work, that is, look what I'm doing, and hide pride from men at this table. We understand that none is worthy to participate, but we also understand that by the blood of Jesus, we are made worthy. And become sons and daughters of God. He goes on to describe and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed. The multitude of his bones with strong pain. We're talking about sickness here, folks. So that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty, or meat of desire. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. You take a look at this guy. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life unto the destroyers. That's not a pretty picture. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, think on that for a minute. Think on that for a minute. One among a thousand to show unto man, King James translates, his righteousness. Let's, you know, lay the rubber to the road. To show unto man God's uprightness, then he, that is God is gracious unto him, the one who has been showed God's uprightness, and saith, God saith, deliver him, that is, the one who's with the messenger, who's being shown God's uprightness. God says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Stay with me. This is the time. Being righteousified, I'm translating more literally from Romans 3:24, being righteousified freely by his grace through the ransom. Price paid, that is, in Christ Jesus. Back to Job. Deliver him from going down to the pit. God speaking, I have found a ransom. And to the one who has a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand that shows God's uprightness. God says, I found a ransom. And what's the result? His flesh. The one whose bones that were not seen are now sticking out. His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and God will be favorable unto him. And he, that is the man, shall see his, that is God's face, with joy, and joy comes with understanding. And he, that is God, will render unto man his, that is God's righteousness. He looks upon man. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. What's he talking about? He's talking about the 17th verse, that he may withdraw man from his work and hide pride from man. And it profited me not. He, that is God, will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with man. As oft as ye do this in remembrance of me. Why? Lo, oft times these things worketh, or lo, all these things worketh God oft times with man. Why? To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. John 8:12 says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So these elements that we have before us, a cup of wine, a piece of broken bread, in and of themselves, they are nothing. They are symbols. They are to remind us of what God has in Jesus Christ done for us. He took the bread and broke and ate and said, take and eat. This is my body. Which is given for you. In that further description of Jesus found in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. The Hebrew, the musar, translated chastisement, that which was required to restore to one who had lost their position. What was that position? Their position with God. What was that position? The musar, that which was required to restore us to our original position. The chastisement of our shalom was upon him. Shalom. Wholeness. Wellness. Flesh fresher than that of a child. He shall return, the 25th verse of Job 33 says, he shall return to the days of his youth. Whew, I'm almost 68 years old. I can testify there are days and sometimes times in a day when I feel every bit my age. But the promise of God is his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. That's a promise of God that we have in Jesus Christ. Who performed that which was required for our wholeness and wellness. And we take this bread, claiming that promise with discernment and by faith, and say, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. That is no doubt. Take it in Jesus. That one who is with a messenger, one among a thousand, that shows unto man God's uprightness. I said earlier righteousness. God does what he says. And in the 26th verse, it says, for he that is God will render unto man his righteousness. Being freely justified, being freely, literally, righteousified by his grace, unmerited favor. There's no need to examine yourself, or there's no need for me to examine myself. I'll tell you the outcome. We're not worthy. We're not righteous. But God, in Jesus Christ, reconciling him, reconciling the world unto himself, he renders unto us his righteousness. How? By this Jesus, represented by this cup of wine, a symbol of his blood, the symbol of his life, which he gave for us, that we might in him have life. And that more abundantly, and that eternally. This is what Jesus has done and is doing and will do for those who are trusting, those who are faithing. In him. And we take this cup, looking unto Jesus with thanksgiving, discerning what God has done. He has, through Jesus Christ, rendered his righteousness unto us. Hallelujah. Amen. No doubt. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take the cup. In Jesus. Amen.